You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
I'm going through a trial of life right now. This is a tough valley to travel. The imagination can run wild if we let it. So friend, if you ever walk this way, or know someone who does, let's all keep the facts straight. Let's talk about this. Death is an imposter, a pretender. Death is a liar. The sting is gone. Jesus took it away. Death scares people, though. Death keeps people awake at night, wondering about all the what-ifs. Well, we know some what-ifs who believe the Bible, who focus on the Word of God. And that's what we mean here when we say, let's keep the facts straight. And it's very important that we keep the facts straight about death and where we're going to be in the end of it all. Jesus beat death. Death is a pretender today, a liar, hiding behind lies. But in the light of the truth of God's word, death couldn't fight its way out of a wet paper sack. Jesus beat death. He fought fire with fire. What I mean is the wages of sin is death. That belongs to us, all of us. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible promises us that the wages of sin is death. So make no mistake, death is formidable. It's a barrier. It's an enemy. It's only that if we know the truth, death, our largest problem, has been dealt with by Jesus. The way that he fought fire with fire is he took death himself, our death, and made it his death. First, he took our sin. And the Bible says that he who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So when Jesus took our sin and claimed our death as his death on the cross, then he beat that enemy when he walked out of the grave 3 days later. Praise God. Death has lost its sting. It has no victory anymore. Even the grave itself, that's supposed to be a place of rotting flesh, but when those who die physically as believers in Jesus come out of that grave where we put them, oh, there will be no rotted flesh. They will be transformed. They will be incorruptible and in the presence of God. Amen. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says that Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, there are some miserable souls who wouldn't say much about Hebrews 2 and verse 9 who don't think Jesus died for every man. They think he only died for those who will end up in heaven as saved people, but the Bible says that he tasted death for every man. Amen. And he didn't fall short of actually having death for himself. When it says he tasted death, it doesn't mean that he got a little taste of it and spit it out. No, no, he embraced death. He became death for us in our place, so much so that the Roman soldier declared him dead, that man who is a student in the art of war and torture. Declared Jesus dead, and there need not be a bone broken in his leg to end it prematurely. No, no, and they put him in the grave as a dead man, and they were shocked when he came alive. But his resurrection is our victory over death. So let's ask the question, friend, if we're believers in Jesus, does it just mean that we're saved and that means that whenever we breathe our last, we'll go into heaven? Oh, no. It means far more than that. And we need to think about this. We need to talk about this. And we need to teach this to the younger ones who are coming along behind us. The world is a mouthpiece for death. The world is scaring everybody. But those of us who know the truth about that imposter, that pretender, we need to tell the emperor that he's wearing no clothes. Amen. And we need to share our testimonies and make loud the truth in this world that death has lost the battle. So where are we going to be who are believers in Jesus. Well, let's face the truth. Right now, I'm a child of God living temporarily. Temporarily, I'm living in a fallen world. John chapter 14, the disciples were scared. They didn't know what was going to happen in the future. They couldn't answer the question, where are we going? Very satisfactorily. And Jesus could tell they were afraid, the disciples. John 14 now, verses 1 through 3. Here we go. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Is that good? I'm temporarily living here in this world. And thank God that one way or another, temporarily, my time here in this world, in this age, as a believing child of God, will come to an end. But right now, it's a temporary existence. Temporarily, we're living here in a fallen, broken world, and sometimes we suffer. We get sick like everybody else does. We have weeds growing in the garden like everyone else does in this fallen, cursed world that we temporarily live in. That's where we are for now, but we have a bright future ahead who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So right now, we're temporarily living in a fallen world, but preparing to live in God's home for infinity. Friend, has it occurred to you lately that this is all temporary? That the time that we live with God in His eternal home is into infinity. It will have no end, and that's what we're preparing for now, a future with Him. Revelation 21, almost to the end of the Bible, three great verses here to talk about where we're headed for an infinity of time in the home of God. Here we go. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and He their God. Is that good? This is temporary. It's all temporary. Even the whispers of death, even the whispers of hell, separation, and darkness, they all run to the corners and hide under the light of the truth of Revelation 21 about the eternal home of the believer in Jesus. And by one way of understanding death, it's simply a door. It's a doorway to get us from this temporary place into the eternal abode with God. Who'd want to be afraid of that? So I'm a child of God living temporarily in a fallen world. That will end. I'm preparing now to have a home with God forever in heaven. It'll be so awesome there. It won't even get dark. There'll be no sickness. It's all banished. And God will be the light of that eternal abode of the believer in Jesus. This life, then, now, this temporary life in this age that will come to an end, will end for the believer in one of two ways. One of two ways. Number one, by death, physical death, or it will end by rapture. 1 Corinthians now, in chapter 15, there's a great verse here. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All here to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, as he writes in the context, is all believers, all believers. He says, I'm showing you, believer, a mystery. Now, the word mystery in the Bible doesn't mean a deep, dark secret. It means a thing that's being made known for the first time. Paul is turning on the lights. so that we can understand now this thing that used to be a deep, dark secret. What's in the great beyond? What lies beyond this life? Well, now we know. We shall not all sleep means that not all of us believers are going to die physically. Some of us will be spared physical death. Those are the ones of us who will go up in the rapture. I'm hoping for that myself. Don't have that as a guarantee from God. But Paul the Apostle clearly thought the rapture would be in his lifetime, so I don't think you'll hold it against me if I think it's going to be in mine. The rapture's going to happen, and it's going to spare some of us from ever having to go across that doorway through physical death into what's beyond us in the great abode of God for infinity. But those are the two ways that we leave this temporary life here in this world, in this age, by physical death or by the rapture. While we're in 1 Corinthians, would you just turn to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 5. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he dropped this truth on them. This will knock your hat in the creek, friend. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8 says, "We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." To be absent from the body means physical death. That is, this body, this temporary part, this corruptible part of us, it's the outer shell. One day we'll be separated from it, who taste physical death, who go across that threshold, and we'll leave the body behind. But Paul says in that moment of physical death, we're separated from our body, but we'll be present with the Lord. So in the scenario, friend, that you and I are some of those who are in the majority who taste physical death, what does it mean? Where will we be? Well, our body will sleep in the ground. Now, we don't believe in soul sleep, but we do believe the body sleeps. This old body that's had such a hard time in a fallen, broken world, that had to live its temporary days here under the fallen curse of man's sin. That takes a break. It's going to sleep in the grave for a while. But immediately, while the body sleeps in the ground, immediately the spirit part, the real part, goes to be with God. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So what's so bad about physical death? If it means that immediately our spirit goes to be with the Lord while our body rests for a while and waits for the coming rapture that will end the church age in the world, that will end this marvelous time of grace when anybody in the world could know they have a Savior who already tasted grace by the grace of God. He tasted death for every man. It could change everything for them, and they can have eternal life in the end of it all. But now the Bible is very clear that as a believer in Jesus, death has no sting. It's gone. It's lost. Death means that we sleep in the ground for a period in this body. But immediately we go right into the presence of God, and there we wait to come with Jesus on that awesome day of the rapture. Friend, I'm not afraid of death. I hope you're not either, because he's a liar. He's a fraud. Jesus beat death, and death has no more sting. Our victory comes through physical death. And if we should die in this world, friend, we're coming back for the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So those who die now are just coming back for the rapture, and we'll be uniting with all the believers and be with God forever. Amen.
This episode is a production of Focus Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated. For questions or comments about this episode or another biblical topic, you can write to us at Focus Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia 30633. For more information about our ministry, you can visit our website, freddiecoile.org. That's FreddieCoile.org. We hope to see you again for next week's episode of Focus on the Bible.